WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
At the age of 21, my guest Mark Weber has starred in the teen comedies Snow Day with Chevy Chase and Drive Me Crazy, and has appeared in the films The Animal Factory and The Boiler Room. He starred with W.H. Macy and Philip Baker Hall in the New York and London revivals of David Mamet's American Buffalo, and is in forthcoming films with Woody Allen and Al Pacino. Now he's starring in the new Todd Solondz movie, Storytelling. He plays Scooby, a suburban high school kid who becomes the subject of a film documentary. In this scene, Scooby is talking with his guidance counselor about college. The guidance counselor has asked Scooby if he has any hobbies, reads books, or even comics. After Scooby answers no, the guidance counselor asks if Scooby has any long-term goals.
Well, I want to be on TV. Maybe have a talk show or something, like Conan or Early Letterman.
Aha. Uh-huh. How is it you hope to achieve this goal?
I don't know, see if I have any connections.
Mark Weber in a scene from Storytelling. Weber is from Philadelphia, where his mother is a homeless activist. They were homeless during part of his childhood. He was born in Minneapolis. His mother was 15.
We were on welfare. She got a grant to go to college, and she actually started going to college to become a teacher, a high school teacher. And slowly we started getting our stuff back together. We got an apartment. My mom had finished up college and started teaching at a local high school in Minneapolis. And things were going great. We had this apartment, and then basically what happened was one day the state police walked into her classroom. She was teaching a women's studies class, and they arrested her for welfare fraud. Now what happened was she basically didn't report the grant money she was receiving to the welfare department to go to college. And the welfare system is set up where you literally, if you get a birthday card with $10 in it from a relative, you have to report that as income, and it's deducted from your welfare check. So basically my mother was arrested in her school and got fired. Later, you know, went to trial for this case and it was dropped. But basically the staff there just didn't hire her back. I guess it didn't look great for her to be arrested in front of her students.
And then what happened to you financially?
Well, basically, my mom lost that job, and, one thing just started leading to another. We, weren't able to pay our rent, and we were served with an eviction notice, and then we lost our place. And we were then living in my mom's car for a while. I mean, it was just like that. And, after my mother was fired, she really had this revelation that she was going to dedicate her life to ending poverty and homelessness in this country, and was going to make sure that no other women or children would have to go through what we went through.
When you were homeless in Minneapolis, did you live in shelters at all?
There was a few times that I stayed in a shelter, but it was some of the worst experiences of my life. I just didn't like the vibe of the place at all. And I just felt a lot safer and comfortable with just me and my mom out on the streets and taking over properties to live in.
When you were living in the car, what did you do for personal hygiene?
I had to become extremely creative. Had a lot of soap and a lot of cologne, literally. And that was one of the hardest parts about being homeless is that, I still went to school and none of my friends knew, I was so ashamed, at the time, and when you're, 9, 10 years old and you're in grade school, it all comes down to, what you have, what sneakers you have, what game systems you have, how cool are you by, the material things that you have, felt like overnight went from a kid who had a place and then all of a sudden didn't.
So would you make up a lot of lies to tell your friends, or would you just decline to tell them what you were really doing?
I just made up so many lies. And actually, that's where a lot of my acting skills developed, I think. You know, and I was even lying to myself, I think, at some points. But no, I lied to all my friends. And then it became, you know, it was hard because I had to keep up with all the lies that I was telling.
What were some of your typical lies?
Well, you know, for the beginning part, you know, when buddies of mine who would regularly come over and stay at my place, you know, it was just that my mom was, like, really, really sick. And then, like, a couple weeks would go by, my friends were like, Mark, what's the deal? And I I kept going with that one for a while, which really sucked because, you know, I was pretending with my friends basically that my mother was, like, on her deathbed, you know, and I couldn't have anyone over. And it didn't feel great saying that.
Did it make you almost superstitious that it was as if you were courting that actually happening?
Yeah, totally. That's exactly what I had in my head.
When you moved to Philadelphia, you were living with your mother in a neighborhood that has a fair amount of crime and drug dealing. And I'm wondering if you were used to that after living in Minneapolis, and what it was like for you and your mother to be, well, for your mother to be organizing while you were taken with her in a neighborhood that could be pretty dangerous.
Oh, it was absolutely crazy. I was in no way used to it. Minneapolis to Philadelphia was major culture shock for me. I mean, I didn't realize I had an accent until I got to Philadelphia. Everyone was calling me farm boy. It was intense. I mean, you had, you know, two ultra white Midwesterners, in North Philly walking around handing out flyers. And it was crazy, but, you know, again, it at the time, just all the other stuff that I had gone through prior to that, I guess, had made it a little bit easier to deal with, but it was still very shocking. I mean, I'd never seen a neighborhood like North Philly ever before in my entire life.
What are some of the things you saw in that neighborhood that you hadn't seen before?
It just looked like a third world country to me. I mean, it literally looks like a bomb was dropped on the neighborhood. You know, tons and tons of boarded up abandoned buildings. You know, bunch of thugs out on the corner, people selling drugs right there in front of your face, people running up and asking you what you wanted, what you needed, and just extreme poverty, you know, little kids running around. It was just wild.
Didn't you end up living in some of those boarded up houses?
Yeah. It's now a strategy and a tactic that we still use with our organization. You know, there in Philadelphia, I believe that there are more abandoned houses than there are actual homeless people. And, you know, they're all, we take over federally owned properties, not privately owned properties. And we take off the boards, we cleaned it up, we make it presentable to the neighborhood, and we move these families in, and myself was one of them at times. And what ends up happening is we get arrested for trespassing, we get let out, we go right back in the house and get arrested again. And eventually through that process, and drawing attention to the fact that these houses are lying here vacant and eventually become drug houses and things like that, we win them from the city.
My guest is actor Mark Weber. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is actor Mark Weber. He's starring in the new Todd Solondz movie, Storytelling. Weber's mother is a homeless activist in Philadelphia. They were homeless during part of his childhood, but he went to the city's high school for the creative and performing arts, where he realized he was serious about acting. Now, I think your first big break, either after high school or maybe when you were still in high school, was getting a TV commercial for Foot Locker?
Yeah.
I don't think I saw the commercial, and if I did, I didn't realize you're the one who was in it. So why don't you describe it?
My first big break really was, you know, I came up to New York and I met this agent who is now my agent today, Abby Bluestone, and she sent me out on my first ever real deal audition in New York, and it was for Foot Locker, and it was actually with a friend of mine who'd also come up from Philly with me to New York. And we both went out on the commercial together, and we actually ended up, we were paired together to go in and meet the producers in the audition. And the audition was, we had to stand there and talk about sneakers. And now sneakers, that's like my one vice. Like, I am a sneaker fiend. I'm obsessed with sneakers, and I love them. And so I just went off, and my friend totally went off too, and we were kicking all types of slang, and we blew them away. And we left, and I got a page on my little pager, and I called back, and I found out that we got the commercial, and I flipped out. I mean, it was the first thing that we were sent out on in New York, and now we showed the agents that we meant business and that we could do it, and it was crazy. I had to figure out a place to stay up here, and because it was shooting in a couple days, and I didn't have enough money to go back to Philly and then come back up, so we had to get a place to stay up here, and we stayed with a friend of mine, and we both got picked up in the morning, and we went down and we shot this Foot Locker commercial, and it was wild.
And what was the after effects of that?
Well, basically, you know, the commercial went great, you know, and, you know, I just started getting sent out on a whole lot more stuff. You know, then I started getting sent out on a bunch of commercials. And I didn't really book any more commercials after that, but my feedback was really well, and it was really good. And I was able to, you know, develop more of a friendship and a relationship with my agent, and I let her know that I was really interested in doing films, and then the whole film thing started picking up. So from that one commercial, it just, everything just kind of, you know, one thing led to another.
And you've been in several movies, and you were with, you played Chevy Chase's son in Snow Days, you were in Animal Factory, an independent film directed by Steve Buscemi, a teenage film called Drive Me Crazy, now you're in Storytelling, which is directed by Todd Solondz. John Goodman plays your father in this one. And you also worked on stage in London and in New York in a version of David Mamet's play American Buffalo. And you starred with W.H. Macy and Philip Baker Hall. I mean, two really great actors. I guess I'm interested in that experience of being on stage with two great actors who aren't the biggest stars in the world. But, I mean, they're wonderful. And you have David Mamet dialogue. And, yeah. And how old were you when you got it? Like 20 or something?
Yeah, It was absolutely amazing. I mean, it was life-changing, definitely. I mean, Bill Macy, you know, grew up with Mamet, and they were buddies, and he played my role of Bobby the very first time that American Buffalo was ever done. So, you know, you talk about a guy who knows Mamet, and especially knows American Buffalo, and knows the ins and outs of all the characters. I mean, it was him. So, I mean, it was intense. I mean, it was my first time ever reading Mamet, and I really didn't know about the kind of particular style that he has and that he teaches until I had got involved with the play and had, you know, met Bill. So I really learned a lot. And really, I guess what I learned most was, it's not something really that I learned, but something that that Bill really defined for me was that, you know, it's always, always, always about being in the moment and being as truthful as possible. And, that really resonated inside my head when he said that to me, because, I found it was something that I was already kind of doing, but just hearing it put into those words, especially just being in the moment, really hit me, because I think it's so important. I think it's really hard for actors to kind of listen to one another, especially when you're doing a film. And I was always accustomed to, you know, when I first did my first movie, I'd, you know, read a line and practice saying a line a certain way, practice it and practice it and practice it, by myself and then show up on set after waiting for like 10 hours, meeting the person I'm going to do the scene with for the first time right before we shoot it, and then go and like trying to do my lines the way I practice saying it and they try and do theirs the way they said it, it doesn't work. There's no chemistry. There's no connection in the scene. So it was really just about being in the moment. And when you do stage, I mean, you're forced to have to be in the moment every single second.
I know when you were young, you really wanted to live the life of a star, and you're on your way to achieving that. But I wonder how all the trappings of stardom and Hollywood look to you after growing up poor, sometimes homeless, and having a mother who is still a homeless rights and welfare rights activist. I mean, it's really an almost absurd contrast.
It really is. And, you know, I got to tell you, I wake up every morning and I feel like the luckiest guy on earth. And all that I've gone through in my entire life, you know, being homeless and being raised poor and struggling and coming from a place of struggle has totally given me the upper hand in this industry. And I feel that every day when I go and audition and when I meet executives and when I go and meet fellow actors and movie stars. It's a great feeling, actually. I almost feel like I walk into every room and I feel like I have the upper hand.
Why?
Because for as much as I love acting and it's my passion and it's my dream, I really don't care about being famous. I really don't care about being rich. I had the most amazing woman in the entire world who really showed me that material items really don't mean anything and that everybody should have, you know, basic human rights and that. And now, you know, it's like all this success is really bittersweet because it's a weird thing, you know. I really truly want everyone to have what I have or to be able to have the experiences that I have. You know, I really believe that everyone should have housing and should have food and clothing and healthcare.
Have you offered to buy your mother a house, and is that something that she would accept?
She would probably accept a maybe slightly nicer house in North Philly, but that's it. I'm not at the point now to be able to buy her a home. And when I do get to that point, you know, she'd never leave North Philly. That's her home, and that's where her friends are, and she'll never leave there.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
Mark Webber is starring in the new film Storytelling. Tomorrow we'll meet the director of the film, Todd Solondz.